S-R-N.
And welcome to my show. What's up, everybody? This is Justin Cogburn, co-host of Cinema Crespediso. I have my own podcast. It's mine. I don't know what I'm going to name it yet. By the time you listen to this, it should have a name. Like, if you look at your podcast thing right now, it'll say a name and a name of an episode. There will be information there, I swear. I swear there will be. Anyway, my co-host for this little adventure is normally the host of Cinema Crespediso, Chris Crespo.
Hey, Drew, how's it going, dude?
What's up, dude? How's it going?
All right, I'm enjoying this little reversal of roles.
I know, it's fun, isn't it?
Hey, I'm down.
It's going to be a lot of me talking and a lot of you going,
monitoring levels.
Exactly.
Making sure it's sounding as good as possible.
Because I have no idea what I'm doing when it comes to that.
That's fine. I barely know either, so.
It's just one of those things.
But we need the content. And so I was like, let's give Drew his own goddamn show.
So here we are.
A show within a show.
It's my show. Oh, man, within a show?
It's a show within a show.
Oh, man. Is this like Synecdoche, New York type crap here? Are we getting
nope, no movie references. It's not a movie show. This is not a movie show.
No, this is not a movie show. Actually, this show is, all right, let's
go. Well, yeah, why don't you tell people what the idea?
Basically, Chris wanted to give me a show for content. We wanted to just kind of get some more stuff out there. Maybe you guys will enjoy it. Maybe you guys won't. Who knows? Either way, we're doing it. But once a month?
Yeah.
I'm going to have my own little show here. And we're just going to talk about something different every time. It could be history. It could be economics. Could be anything.
But it's whatever you want to talk about.
But it's whatever I want to talk about. Screw this guy. Screw his movies. And it's just Cogburn versus the world. And all that BS. It just, oh man, it gets kind of tense.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sitting there recording, just waiting to hear those freaking sirens. And I'm just like, oh, every time I hear them. So we'll have a little bit of role reversal here.
Yes.
I'm going to have a little game for Chris eventually.
Nice.
Where I'm going to ask him some stuff and he's going to give me some answers.
I'm on the hot seat.
And they're probably going to be wrong and I'm going to revel in his misery. but this month's, week's, episode, whatever thing it is here, this one is all about video games. I am a rampant video game addict and I figure, what better way to work through my problems with video games than to talk about them with you, the listeners.
A little bit of therapy.
A little bit of therapy.
Podcast therapy.
Exactly.
All right.
So, we're just going to kind of start it off here a little bit. I mean, a little bit of the history of the video game kind of sorts through the eyes of me and my co-host here, Mr. Crespo.
So, we're going to start at the beginning.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were lucky enough to grow up in the era of video games where, by the time we were both spawned, video games were already kind of taking a little hold there. And they were starting to become part of popular culture and, turn into the behemoth that they are today.
Right.
My First video game memory for you, Chris. Do you have, did you go, like, when you were a kid, did you go somewhere where there was, like, someone had, like, an Apple II or Commodore 64 or an Atari 2600?
The first video game I've ever encountered, I believe it was an Atari.
Atari 2600?
Atari 2600. And we're talking, I'm trying to think of my age, do some math. We're talking, like, 87.
87, okay.
87, 88, something along those lines.
Okay, so yeah.
Someone had an Atari, and the first game was a baseball game, where, as much as I remember, the players were stick figures. You could barely see what was going on. I really didn't get to play because the older kids were playing. I was just sitting there watching. I was like, oh, so that's a video game.
Yeah.
And that was.
There are these things, and they're moving on a screen.
And it was so cheesy looking. Was it? What was before Atari 2600?
Before the Atari 2600.
It was still pretty weak looking.
We're talking, what, before the Atari? The Magnavox Odyssey?
No, it must have been an Atari.
Blah, blah,
blah. I don't think so.
I mean, there might
ColecoVision? When was that?
That was about the time. That was around the time of the Atari.
I think it was an Atari, and it was a really bad baseball game. So that was my first ever seen a video game, like, at home console thing.
Yeah.
Remember the first one? I don't know how this ended up happening, but within a year, I was obsessed with getting, and then finally I got, because my parents are awesome, first
Nintendo.
Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, well, of course.
For whatever reason.
Well,
I saw some marketing.
Why? Because it came with the console, Chris.
No, but I knew it came with the console, and I was like, I need to get the Nintendo. All right, quick story. I wanted a Nintendo, and, you know, my parents are great. They're like, we'll get you the video game system, but they did the old thing where they found another video game system. They actually got me an Atari.
Atari?
With a racing game.
Uh-huh.
And I threw a bit of a fit.
Well, yeah. Well,
I was like,
well,
this isn't what I...
Well, I mean, at the time Nintendo was out, I mean, that's like, you know, a 360 being out and your parents buying you an Xbox.
Right.
You know?
Right. So I was like,
it was the next generation. Technically, I'm pretty sure Nintendo is a third generation console, actually.
Well, that was the one that I was like, I need to get that one, and they got me an Atari, and I was like, that's not really the one I wanted, and they did eventually get me the Nintendo, the Super Mario Brothers, and man. Oh, that's what, that was my jam.
Yeah, my first video game experience. A buddy of mine's dad had bought a Pong machine back in the day.
No shit.
And it was sitting in his garage.
Yeah.
Because it was a freaking Pong machine.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody... home Pong was kind of popular. Not really, but...
I mean, after 10 minutes.
Exactly.
You get it.
Yeah. So, but he had an old school Pong machine. He had an old crappy gray black and white TV out there.
Yeah.
And it's freaking Pong. It's black and white anyway. So
yeah,
it's
right.
It mattered. So we used to hook that stuff up and sit on the floor in his garage and play Pong.
That's awesome.
Back in the day.
Very cool.
But after that, and obviously.
So you getting your first fix.
That was my first fix. And after that, it was Nintendo. I mean, I was born in 83. That was... Pretty sure that's the same year the original Nintendo first came out, 1983.
Was it 83?
Pretty sure.
I thought it was more like 85.
Oh, hang on.
And I'm only pulling that information because I have a T-shirt with Super Mario's face on it, and it says something like since 85 or 86 or something. That might have just been when the game was made.
Was it a Commodore 64 that you got, Chris? Was it a Commodore?
What, is that what came out around Nintendo?
Yeah.
No, I was an Atari. I remember being an Atari.
Yeah.
I definitely got an Atari.
Or ColecoVision. Do you remember ColecoVision?
See, no. Now, ColecoVision, I don't.
No.
No.
Yeah.
At that time, it was Atari and Nintendo. I got an Atari. I wanted a Nintendo.
I mean, ColecoVision was out there. I never knew anybody who had one, but I knew that they existed.
I know there's a Family Guy joke about ColecoVision.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. 1985. Nintendo
85. Yeah, I only got that because I had a T-shirt that I got from Target.
I was 2 years old when Nintendo came out in America.
Yeah,
you know, by the time I was like 7, I had one.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because I mean, back then, I mean, I'm sure just for inflation, it may be around the same price, but they were like $100.
Yeah, they were expensive.
Yeah,
they were expensive, and I remember them being a hot ticket item. I remember my mom, she went to the mall to pick it up, and she went to a KB Toys. Remember those?
I remember KB Toys. Dude, I used to love the KB Toys.
And she went there, and I don't know if she reserved it or whatever, but she told me that they had the last. Like, she got there just in time to get the last NES, and it came with a zapper. And like, she almost got in a fight with some dude, some other guy there who wanted it. Like, it was one of those time periods where people were crazy for, like, when the Wii came out and people were Wii crazy.
I was going to ask if you got yours with the zapper, because I knew some kids on the block who didn't have a zapper.
Oh, those poor guys.
They weren't so cool. They didn't have Duck Hunt either.
Yeah, no, it came with the zapper and the dual game, the Super Mario Brothers / Duck Hunt. Yeah.
Yep, on one cartridge.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then later, I got the pad. The run-on.
I
forgot what they called it. The power pad. I got the power pad, and that came with, I don't even know why. It
came with like some Olympic game, didn't it?
It came with a 3-pack Super Mario Brothers, Duck Hunt, I don't know why I included those, and world class athlete, sport. It was an Olympic type
game.
It was all about jumping and sprinting and stuff like that.
Because I remember I never had the power pad.
Yeah.
But. When I used to go to Thanksgiving for
up in North Carolina when I was a kid. And actually, I'm actually going back this year for the first time in 10 years. Word. Anyway, but the kids in the neighborhood, there was one family that I used to, whenever I went up there, you know, it was like, oh, Drew's back, blah, blah, blah. And we'd hang out for the week and then I'd go home and I'd never see him again. But they had a power pad. And I remember it was like the coolest thing I had ever seen. I was like, wait a minute, you mean I run on this thing?
It's mind blowing.
Like, and things happen on the screen?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. It was awesome.
I remember
and then you find ways to cheat.
Doing the hurdles and the slalom. Oh, dude, I remember.
Use your hands.
Yeah. You can use your hands or have two people on it because there was no way to tell.
Or if you're doing a long jump competition, you jump off the pad.
Yeah. And then you hop back on.
And then you hop back on. Yeah. Or else it goes off the screen. It's like, what?
Of course.
Yeah. So that, Nintendo, man. NES days.
The power glove? Did you have the power glove?
Did not have the power glove.
Oh, no. Power glove.
No, did you?
Yes, I did.
Did that thing even work?
Barely. It only had like one game for it, and it was like the Power Glove game, and it was this stupid metal hand with balls, and you know, like, had to move them around. I remember being lame.
That sucks.
And I didn't want to play it.
And they had no other way to.
Basically, I would just put it on and think I was cool, and I would just sit there with my left hand and just use the controller.
The controller
that
thing,
was on it.
Yeah.
So
so cheesy.
And then remember when the kid was using it for too long and he sweat and he got all electrocuted?
No.
You never remember that story?
I do not remember.
Dude,
there was a story
on the news back in the day.
It sounds right, though.
Back in the day, there was some kid who had the video game addiction, just as bad as I do now, but back then.
Yeah.
And he was playing the Power Glove game for so long that his body sweat had sweat through the cloth and into the little sensors in there.
Nice.
And he got like whatever degree burns on his hand.
That's fantastic.
Electrical burns.
So someone got paid off that.
After that happened, my mom threw away my power glove.
No, mom! Mom! My mom wanted to throw away the power pad at one point because, let's just say, you know, I've always been kind of a bigger fellow.
Yeah.
At one point, one of our living situations, when I got the power pad, this was not the living situation. Then we moved, brought the power pad with me. We're in a place where now my bedroom is on the top floor of a townhouse. And, you know, mom's downstairs and, I got the pad set up. I'm like, here we go. I'm running as fast as I can, and I'm hitting the ground. And then I hear my mom yelling, like, cut that out. It's like, what are you doing? You're shaking the whole house. She got so pissed off.
Because
I was making everything shake in the house because I'm on the very top, and I'm slamming my feet as hard as possible. So the power pad days ended.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, Nintendo, what was your favorite game? What was your, like... What was your go-to cartridge? Like, the one where, at the end, you had to blow in that thing, like, 1.5 billion times. You had to throw the extra cartridge on top just to make sure it clicked into the Nintendo, right?
Oh, my God. Favorite game.
Like, what was the one,
so
I'm going to jump the gun here. And for me, it was Legend of Zelda.
Classic.
Dude, it was the gold cartridge. Right, I had the gold cartridge.
Same here,
dude. By the end of it, I got it, and it was so shiny and beautiful.
Yeah.
And by the end of me playing that game over and over, dude, it looked like rusted bronze,
worn out.
It was worn, dude. Seriously, like, it was to the point where I had, like I said, I had to put the extra cartridge on top to press it down,
to make sure it still works.
Yeah, so it would play.
I would have to say the game that I just kept playing over and over and I was obsessed with, like the one game I really got obsessed with Nintendo wise was Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh, dude, Mario 3 was
Mario 3 is a classic game. I mean, everyone loves it. It's kind of, almost kind of a cheap answer to say that one, but that was the game though. And I subscribed to Nintendo Power. Yes.
Oh man.
So they did the thing where they put out the big blowout issue to promote the game, and it came with like 50
giant
pages detailed. Of all the levels, where everything was, just maps of everything.
So it was like a cheat code.
It's one of these walkthroughs you got to spend how much money they
oh
get.
Oh my God, $60
but
I paid for
Nintendo Power, which is Nintendo's own magazine.
It was.
Do you still make that? They don't make that.
No, they don't make Nintendo Power.
Oh, what a shame. The kids don't know. They put out their own walkthrough for the whole thing. I dog-eared that thing, went through it, pages were falling out.
Yeah.
That was... So it was either that or... I was obsessed over trying to get past the third world of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the first game. Never got past it. The one with the turtle van?
Impossible.
Could never get past the turtle van.
No, no, no. Nobody could.
Yeah, I don't ever. Know. I don't know if there's a whole game after that. Maybe go to the Technodrome. I have no idea. Who knows?
Nope.
And it takes the longest to get to that point anyway.
And all the turtles, the turtles were like they were in the comic books back then. They all had the red bands in the first game. Remember? They didn't have different color headbands in the first game.
I remember them being color-coded in the first game. Well, not the small ones. Not when they were small, the overlay, when he saw the tiny turtles walking around on the map. But I remember when he selected the turtles that they had the colors.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
I remember the cover was all red bands, too.
That's possible.
Well.
That is very possible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, those are my games.
Those were games for Nintendo.
That was definitely it, for sure.
Well, and then, obviously, that was Nintendo. That was an 8-bit system.
Yes.
After that...
You mean it got better than 8 bits?
Technology progressed onto the 16-bit era.
What?
If you remember Super Nintendo?
Yes.
Sega Genesis?
Yes.
Consoles like that?
Did you have both of them?
No, I was Nintendo all the way. So, I was not.
Oh, you did not have a Sega Genesis.
I was not a Sega kid. But I still remember the blood code for the first Mortal Kombat on Sega.
ABBA?
ABACABB.
No, ABBA... is going back to Nintendo, the respawn code for Ikari Warriors. Ever play Ikari Warriors?
Up, down, left, right, B-A-A-B, select, start.
That's Contra.
The Contra code.
The Contra code. The old...
Everybody knows the Contra code.
The Konami code.
Oh, man, that game was... Oh, good Lord. So, I played that game so much.
It's funny. So you had a Super Nintendo, but not a Sega Genesis. I never had a Super Nintendo. My parents only had so much money. Uh-huh. So when Super Nintendo came out, they're like, well, you still got regular Nintendo. Regular Nintendo's still pretty super. And I was like, all right. But I did eventually get Sega Genesis.
Yeah, I never had a Sega.
Ended up rolling with Sega Genesis.
All my friends had Segas.
So you played plenty of Sega.
I had the Super Nintendo.
And I had a friend with Super Nintendo, so I played plenty of F-Zero over there.
Dude, no, exactly. And my friends had to come over to get their Mario fix.
Right. Right.
Because that was Super Mario World?
Yes. Yes, which I didn't play. I didn't get back into Mario until the next level.
When they introduced Yoshi.
When they did what?
When they introduced Yoshi.
Yoshi wasn't... No, really?
Super Mario World.
I guess so.
That was Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, how do you like that?
Yeah, that was the introduction of Yoshi.
How do you like that? The introduction of Yoshi.
Oh, man, that stupid fat mouth dragon thing that spits shells.
He always reminded me of Odie.
Oh, yeah, the way he was. Oh, he was even shaped the same way, and he was kind of dumb.
He's a green Odie with no ears. If you ever met Garfield, man. Garfield would be so pissed.
Man.
There should be someone needs to write a fan fiction crossover of Yoshi and Odie.
Seriously.
Garfield and Super Mario Bros. Crossover. But it's their side characters. So it's like Mario and Garfield.
Nope.
It's
not Mario and Garfield. It's Yoshi and Odie. The Lost Years. They're being all stupid, running around together, doing stupid things, and for some reason, not getting hurt ever. Like, I'm pretty sure Odie gets hit by cars Garfield.
He gets pushed over the edge of the table
and he just comes back.
Every other strip.
Yep. And he comes back. Every time for more. Stupid dogs.
Yep.
Oh, well. But yeah, Super Nintendo Genesis. So you were a Genesis kid.
Yeah.
Genesis. What was your favorite game for the Genesis?
Genesis' favorite game.
Were you a Sonic guy?
I love the Sonic games. I really did. I had the first one, the third one, which I think was the one that introduced Tails. And then I got the Sonic and Knuckles game.
Tails.
Remember when they did Sonic and Knuckles? And you could put old Sega games into the cartridge on top, and then you could play with Knuckles on an old game?
Yes.
That shit was revolutionary.
Yeah, it was. Do you remember the Game Shark in the same thing?
The Game Genie?
The Game Genie, yes.
Yes. Yeah, well, I had Game Genie for Sega. I don't know if I ever had a Nintendo one. I definitely had a Sega one.
It was the first time. It was cheat codes. It was like, what's going on?
That was crazy.
It was amazing.
There's nothing like that anymore. I guess now it's on the internet. How does that work?
Well, now, because the Game Genie was such a popular external device.
Yes.
You know, this was...
It was an external device, right?
Yeah, the Game Genie wasn't... I don't think it was put out by Nintendo. I think it was a third-party company.
Interesting.
If I'm not mistaken.
Let me see if I can get some information on that there.
But, yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's what prompted... video game companies to start putting in, like, those extra cheat codes. I mean, I'm playing Assassin's Creed 4 right now. As you progress through the story missions and collect certain collectibles and blah, 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 yada, 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 you actually unlock cheat codes
Word.
In that,
where, you know, obviously the game progression stops.
So the cheat codes are built into the game.
But yeah, the cheat codes are built into the game.
All right, well, the Game Genie is a series of cheat systems originally designed by Codemasters and sold by Comerica and Galoob. Those are the companies.
All right, well, so yeah, it was not, so it was a third-party company. It wasn't done by Nintendo or Sega.
First device in the series was released for the NES. Subsequent devices released for Super NES, Game Boy, Mega Drive / Genesis. Was Genesis also called the Mega Drive?
Yeah, it was called the Mega Drive in just about every other country.
Oh, except here?
Yeah, here in the States it's called Genesis.
And the Sega Game Gear. All devices temporarily modify game data, allowing the player to cheat, manipulate various aspects of games, and sometimes access unused content and functions.
Mm-hmm.
So they hacked into the game somehow and got the codes.
This is back in the day. These were cartridge games. You had the cartridge, you plugged it in, you know, you ran a diagnostic program on it, and you got all the code. It was all sitting there on the chip.
Right.
You know, it's not like it was encoded on a disc or something. It was encoded in the chip, physical chip itself. So it's not like it wasn't hard to access.
This also says that no Game Genie devices were developed by Codemasters for the fifth generation of consoles. So I guess that's Xbox, PlayStation, maybe even before that. However, other companies have produced similar hacking devices, such as GameShark. So GameShark is something completely
Game
different.
GameShark, that was the same
something
type
totally
of deal,
different.
Though, yeah.
Totally done independently of the big video game companies. They just took advantage of their coding.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Those things were awesome, though.
Yeah.
And I almost forgot about the Game Boy. I can't believe.
Game Boy.
That was the first time I ever saw Tetris. And it changed my life forever.
Oh, yeah.
The
Tetris was perfect for Game Boy, the simplicity of it.
Yeah.
I remember playing, going back to Ninja Turtles, I remember playing the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
Game Boy game. That was better than the first Nintendo one.
It was. And playing the first Amazing Spider-Man Game Boy game, which was awful, but I played the shit out of it.
I'm sure you did. Yeah. I played the Super Nintendo X-Men game that was so terrible.
I only played the original Nintendo one, which was even worse. We're just talking about worst experiences playing Nintendo.
Probably. Oh, God. Yeah, there were some pretty bad games out there. I mean, hell, there are still some bad games out there today for the new stuff.
Of course, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously.
I was a Super Nintendo guy. That is when Super Nintendo, that's when it piqued my interest in RPGs. Role-playing games.
Rocket-propelled grenades.
That too. Rock and Bell grenades are awesome, but no, role-playing games. Because I've always been a dork. Played a lot of Dungeons and Dragons when I was a kid. You know,
turn-based dice games.
Yes, used my imagination before video games came about.
And did it for you.
And then video games came out and it did all the rolling for me, and all the computing for me, and all the math. And all I had to do was sit there and move a controller. It was awesome.
Very nice.
But there were just some epic freaking games for that, you know, that 16-bit system. Mm-hmm. Were you ever into RPGs at all?
The
Final Fantasies,
no, not
Secret
Final
of
Fantasy.
Mana, stuff like that?
No, the closest to RPG I ever played was some turn-based games on computer.
That's RTS. That's
also something totally different.
That's real-time strategy.
So then, no.
So what, like, that's more along the lines of Warcraft, Command and Conquer, Civilization, Age of Empires.
Nope, never got into those games either. I'm talking more like Full Throttle. That's one of my favorite games, and no one knows it.
Full Throttle.
Yeah, it's a LucasArts game where you're a biker. And
What, kind of like a point-and-click adventure? Because
it's a thing where
kind of like a Leisure Suit Larry type game. So it was done on the what was the name of that?
It's a point and click.
Yeah, no, but they used to make fun of it in Monkey Island, done by LucasArts.
Right, a game like that.
Yeah,
games like that. Those Monkey Island games, stuff like that.
Oh man, I have it marked.
Dig is an epic LucasArts game.
Dig was amazing.
It was amazing, except it was way too hard.
Yeah,
you couldn't get through what was, I'm sure, a great story that Spielberg and Lucas did.
Yeah.
And no one will ever get to know it because
it was called too hard. It was called the Scum System. SCUMM.
That's a crazy name.
Yeah, and because I remember they used to make fun of it in Monkey Island.
The Scum System.
Scum System, because it was called Scum. That was the acronym.
Interesting.
SCUMM.
Well, that's what I was into then. I was into the Scum System.
Yeah. I mean, that was computer based video games.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a
That's a whole other thing.
That's totally. I mean, actually, you know what? Let's screw it. Let's throw it in there too.
You got into some computer games too,
dude. I really didn't. I didn't have a computer early on. But I eventually, like, when America Online got big, you know,
mid-90s,
it was time to have a personal computer.
Right.
So my mom got one, and then I, you know, started getting all my friends' old games that they had been playing.
Oh, nice.
And I actually got quite, this was the age of Windows, and Windows 95.
Yeah.
And I was more at home in DOS.
Oh, really?
Because all the games that I was playing were DOS-based games, because they were my friend's hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
You know, I was playing Leisure Suit Larry and King's Quest and the original Warcraft.
Yeah.
And all those are DOS-based.
Yeah.
You know,
I had a couple of DOS-based games. I had a Who Framed Roger Rabbit DOS-based game.
Oh, man. Do you remember floppy disks?
And yeah, absolutely.
I'm not talking the 3.5-inch
floppies. No, the 5-inchers, yeah.
5-inchers.
Yeah, I remember having to load one of those up to play Oregon Trail in middle school.
Oh, Oregon Trail. Another great video game.
That was a great game.
That was fantastic.
And it taught you the horrible travails of trying to cross the country in the whatever the time
Little
was.
Lucy dies of dysentery every time. Every time she dies of dysentery.
And whatever you do, careful with Ford in that river.
Oh, dude, I love Ford in the river.
Ford the river.
I mean, if I had the choice, I'm Ford in the river, bro. I don't give a shit if I break some stuff and maybe lose a couple oxen. Whatever. I'm Ford in the river.
There you go.
Gotta Ford the river.
Screw those oxen.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Maybe bust a couple yokes while you're over there. Oh, I got a broken yoke. What am I going to do? I'm never going to make it to Oregon.
Busted wheel. Grandma's got malaria.
Oh,
we're only in Jersey. We're not getting very far.
We're never going to make it to Oregon. Oh, man. But yeah, I mean, those point-and-click adventures were fun.
Yeah, they were.
Nowadays, even the whole point-and-click genre is making a huge comeback.
Are they?
With your favorite and my little thing, The Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
Actually,
uh-huh.
Those Telltale game series. They're point and click adventures.
Yeah, and I've heard that they're quite popular.
Not only are they're good, but they're freaking scary. And the choices that you make, obviously, just like in the old ones, depend. Not so much. I mean, in the older ones, the choices you made kind of decided what happened, but it was very linear path.
Uh-huh.
This, it's still a linear path, but there are many splits along that line. I mean, every path gets you to the same ending. But what happens in between is different depending on the choices that you make.
So the journey changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And you have to make these really incredibly tough moral decisions in this video game, and literally they give you like 3 seconds to make the decision.
Nice.
They're like, make the decision now or they both die.
Nice.
You have to save one or they both die. Go.
That's awesome.
Which one do I save? Oh my god, save her.
That's awesome.
Or save him. Oh god damn it. And then the entire time you're playing the rest of the game, you're wondering if that was the right decision. Like, oh, was that right? Would I have been better off if I'd done it? What's going on?
Because it changes everything.
Yeah, exactly.
Very interesting. I just read about this game that I'd never heard of before, and it was a 90s, I think early 90s computer game.
Called
I Want to Scream, But I Have No Mouth.
What?
I think that's the name of it.
Excuse me?
So it's based on some crazy short story that's just very depressing.
Uh-huh.
And the writer of the story, someone wanted him to make a video game. Computer game, so they agreed to make one, but only if it was like really based on a short story, which is really bleak and horrible, and if they somehow made it worse. And for somehow the game is all about how some supercomputer, it's in the future where it's kind of like, think of Skynet, you know, we created an AI supercomputer, and then the supercomputer wipes out all of humanity, but the computer leaves like 4 people alive, and it found a way to keep them alive for like 100 years so it can torture them every day.
Sweet. Right?
This is the backstory.
That's one messed up computer.
It's a messed up computer, and that's the backstory. The game starts where you play as the characters, and the computer has decided that it is going to let you go around on some maze and maybe try to get out, but it's really just toying with you, I guess. And you have to go through.
So it's like the physical incarnation of Myst.
I guess so. I think it's around the same time period as that game.
The whole point of the game is the
moral conundrums, and you have to make horrible decisions.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
The whole thing.
Oh, okay.
And people who've played the game have been like, this is just most depressing, bleak shit ever, and there's no real way to win the game. There's like four different outcomes depending on how you play.
But you don't necessarily win.
You don't really win. Three of them is like, you definitely fucking lose. And then the fourth one, the quote winning one, is the best outcome possible, which is where like the other people are, I think they're just gone, they don't exist anymore, so they can't suffer, and you're the one character who's left, who, this is how it gets the name of the game, and it's where the short story, how it ends. The computer decides now it wants to just screw with you forever and ever and ever, and what it's going to do to you is it's going to turn you into some sort of blob, gelatinous creature, so you can't go anywhere, you can't do anything.
This was a Japanese game, wasn't it?
No, it's completely American.
Really?
And that's where the title comes from, because the blob thing, he still has total consciousness, so the way the short story ends is the blob, he wants to scream, but he has no mouth with which to scream. So that's where the title of the game comes from.
It's terrible.
Isn't that horrible? Isn't that crazy?
That is...
I want to play it so bad.
That is so terrible and depressing.
So that's so when you think of moral conundrums in video games, that's where I went to.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, yeah, I don't know anything about nothing crazy as that going on.
Just imagine the concept of wanting to scream but having no mouth.
Man, that is nuts.
Maybe we'll just end the computer games conversation with that one.
You know what? I think we will. That's a good way to end the computer game conversation. And back into the 16-bit systems. Super Nintendo RPGs. The crowning achievement, by the way, of Super Nintendo RPGs is this game called Chrono Trigger.
Chrono Trigger. That sounds familiar.
Well, it's the first RPG that had multiple endings.
Oh, okay.
Like, depending on what characters you used in the final battle and what time... There's a bunch of time travel in this game.
Right.
So, depending on where... what time frame you kill the last boss in depends on what ending you get.
So it changes, yeah. Butterfly effects.
There's like 10 different endings to this freaking game.
That's pretty cool.
I've only seen 3 of them. But that means I had to play through the game 3.
Oh man,
dude, it was long. That was the first game that had me like crack, where I was like, all I want to do is play this game. Like, yes, I have to go to school, I understand that, but if I'm not in school, okay, so I have to eat, I have to sleep, but if I'm not doing those three things, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
And that was the first one that did me in.
Interesting.
That was the...
And it happened during the 16-bit era.
Yes. Yeah.
Was that first real?
For some reason, though, I mean, I played the original Final Fantasy on Nintendo, and it just didn't do it for me. It's like, oh, I get to pick what color wizard I am. Sweet. I'm going to be the yellow wizard this time. You know, when you got to the 16-bit graphics, there was more detail. You could differentiate the characters a little bit more, you know?
Right.
So that was, it was amazing. I really want them to release it again. Even on just like Xbox Live or something.
Like in the arcade or something.
Yeah. Speaking of arcades, Super Nintendo, that generation of consoles pretty much killed arcades.
Yeah, well, they were kind of on the way out anyway. I mean, arcades had their heyday early 80s.
Yeah.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So by the time that stuff came around, early 90s? People were over it.
Well, I mean, I was still...
And at that time, there was a Street Fighter 2 machine in every... At least in New York, in every bodega and bowling alley.
Dude, in every...
Everything. Everywhere,
dude,
there was a Street Fighter machine.
Dude, Street Fighter changed the world.
It did.
I mean...
For the better.
Seriously.
Except for that movie. We're not talking about movies.
Oh, God. That movie.
Not talking about movies.
Actually, eventually, at the end of the podcast, I do kind of want...
Oh, you
want
to talk about movies? All right, video game movies?
Well, no, it's because it comes full circle, you know?
Okay.
As you know, video games get bigger, they become franchises.
Oh, okay,
with
all right. I see what
things
you mean.
Involved with them.
All right.
So, we're going to touch on that a little bit later.
Caesar. Spoiler alert.
But, I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I used to love going to the arcade.
I did enjoy arcading, but it wasn't something I got to do very often.
Yeah, no, I mean, I didn't get to do it very often. I mean, every once in a while, like, I would go to the mall and I'd have a couple dollars and I'd, you know, go spend a couple quarters at the arcade.
Yeah.
But the cool thing for me was my parents got divorced when I was young. So I had both of my parents vying for my attention. And they were basically playing who's the favorite parent. So my dad in his infinite wisdom, God bless his soul.
Mm-hmm. God rest his soul. What?
I almost said God rest his soul. God bless his soul. when it was, you know, it was weekend time with dad,
uh-huh,
to get in good with the little kid who loved video games.
Yeah.
He used to just, he'd pick me up. And he would hand me a roll of quarters.
Nice.
$20 in quarters.
Nice.
And we would just go to the arcade. And I was like a freaking...
like a...
crack addict in a crack den?
I was going to say a crack whore in a whorehouse.
Yes, that too.
Something like that.
We're
both going similar places.
Just
but
running around like a chicken with my head cut off with a pocket full of quarters.
Good on you to look on being a child of divorce in such a positive way.
Well, dude, I mean, at a certain point in time, it was even better, like, because, like, my dad got remarried, and then I had dad's house and mom's house. I had Christmas here and Christmas there. I had birthday here and birthday there. I had 4th of July here, 4th of July there. It was double everything.
Very
for,
nice.
Like, 3 years. It was amazing. It was so fantastic. You know, I mean, it took obviously a couple years and a whole lot of nonsense to get to that point.
Right.
But, you know, once you got over it, and then, you know, I mean, at that point in time, you know, it was the mid-90s. You look to your left, look to your right, people getting divorced everywhere. I mean.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
That's the sanctity of marriage, you.
Between my friends, I think, like, maybe two of my best friend's parents are still together. And that was even in high school.
Yeah.
Even in middle school.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
It is crazy.
But yeah, so pocket full of quarters and go to the arcade. It was awesome.
That is awesome.
I used to love the arcade. There were some, and the thing I loved about the arcade was that's where, you know, the really big and cool games were, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
Time Crisis type games.
Time Crisis, Cruising USA, or even back in the day there was, oh man, there was this basketball game. I forget what the name of it was.
NBA Jam was that started big in arcade before it got to consoles.
Yeah. Soul Calibur as well.
Oh, yeah. Soul Calibur was big.
Soul Calibur. I mean, then a lot of those arcade games got put onto consoles when we went to the 64-bit system.
Yes. Well, even by 16-bit with the NBA Jams.
Well, the NBA Jams and the Street Fighters, the Mortal Kombats.
On the 64 is when they started going crazy. No, so what generation is the 64-bit?
Technically, the 64-bit generation, I think, is the fifth generation.
Is that already the fifth generation?
Fifth generation, yeah, because technically fourth generation was the 16-bit systems.
All right. So you want to take a break now and then... What do we got left? We're going to do fifth generation 64-bit.
Actually, no, yeah. You know, we're in the fifth generation, and we've already gone through four. There's only three left to go.
All right.
We've got fifth generation. We've got the 64-bit systems, and then we move on to the CDs and the big consoles, the PS2s.
All right.
And then the new stuff. But before that, you're going to hop into the Drew Disco? Is that what we're going to... I'm going to come up with another name for that, too. Man. But I like what we do on our show.
Taking a little break in there.
Taking a little break and throwing in some tunes.
Yep.
But this time, because it's my show.
Yes.
My podcast. It's Drew's blah 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 show. I get to pick the music. And going with video games here, I'm gonna pick something video game appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Two songs that were inspired by video games. Both of them are very metal. So
I hope you like metal, people.
If you don't like metal, you probably not gonna like this too much.
You probably should go fuck yourself.
That too.
But don't, we love you.
So the first song is it's called Cutsman by Horse the Band.
Awesome.
They call themselves Nintendo Core.
And you'll see why.
And you'll understand why. And it's about a Mega Man villain, Cutsman. Do with tiny scissors on his head. Second song that I chose was a song called What a Terrible Night to Have a Curse by one of my favorite metal bands, the Black Dahlia Murder. It sounds like the devil is screaming. It's fantastic. But it's the song, if you can even listen to and understand the lyrics. It's actually about Castlevania. So, pretty awesome.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy. We'll be back.
Fire from the gods. I don't know. Power glove.
Rest.
That was pretty brutal.
In your face.
That was awesome.
Take that.
I hope that was turned up as loud as possible. You were banging your head, worshiping Satan, sacrificing virgins, all that fun stuff. Because let me tell you, when I listen to Block Dahlia Murder, that's what I feel like doing.
Oh my goodness. Virgins beware.
Virgins beware. You will be sacrificed.
Juicer Cogburn's on the loose.
If I'm listening to Black Dahlia Murder, you will be sacrificed.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So, yeah. So
where do we leave off? 64?
Mr. Co-host.
I'll just drink my beer. I'll just sit back and drink my beer.
Mr. Co-host, if you could just chill out for a second, it'd be awesome. Much like we do on this other podcast that I happen to be on from time to time. I'd like to get plugs out of the way.
Oh, all right.
We just got back from a little thing, blah, blah, blah. Why don't you plug yourself, Mr. Crespo?
On Twitter, at I am Chris Crespo, chriscrespo.com, Cinema Crespo DSO, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. That was one thing. And on Twitter, at Crespo DSO.
Awesome. I am at Antara419 on Twitter, same on Instagram. If you enjoyed this little show that I'm doing, or if you have any ideas for subsequent shows, please feel free to tweet me.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Let me know what you think of it. Let me know if you have any ideas of what you think I should do. Chris, I see your hands raised.
My hands raised. What about anti-hero something for like show title wise? Use an anti-hero because that's all your.
Yeah. I can work
idea?
Some.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, just
maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
All right,
maybe.
Up.
I'll try it out.
That'll be quiet.
I'll check. It's a good thought, though. I like it. Anyway, so yeah. And where do we left off, Chris? That is a great question. We left off in the fifth generation of consoles, my friend.
Fifth generation.
This is the time period of video games where I kind of lost touch.
Really?
Well, only because
what is
of...
this, we're talking mid to late 90s?
We're
talking high school years?
Yeah, we're talking because of price as well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, the PlayStation, the Nintendo 64, the PCFX, the...
The what?
I don't know. I'm just reading a list of crap that was sold at that time. Sega Saturn. Remember Sega Saturn?
I remember it. I knew someone that had it. I played a little bit of Echo the Dolphin.
Oh man, it was so terrible.
Of all, you know what?
3DO. You get down 3DO?
No, I never played a 3DO.
Neither did I. No. I always saw the commercials for it, and I was always intrigued.
Like, what is that thing?
But I never played.
It's a whole other system.
Yeah, I know exactly.
Oh man, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Man, is that no?
How about the Neo Geo?
No, never.
Never played a Neo Geo?
I only know Neo Geo through the stand-up arcade where it has all the different Neo Geo games in there, right? Isn't that the same thing?
Well, yeah, but... And
isn't that how it started?
You want to know why it was in a stand-up arcade?
Why?
Why? Because the same chip that was in the stand-up arcades?
Yeah.
The same motherboard?
Yeah.
That was the Neo Geo.
Oh, that was it?
So you had a tire cabinet unit in your home if you had a Neo Geo at the time.
Oh, really?
Yes.
It was
arcade quality at home.
You know what I just realized? I think we might have skipped over because I'm thinking of the number that's in the title of the console.
Uh-huh.
The TurboGrafx-16.
Oh, I never played it.
You never played it?
No.
I had a friend who had one. I only know one person who ever had one.
No.
But not only did he have a TurboGrafx-16 and we played the hell out of some Bonk's Adventures, which
was a cool game. Yeah.
That was a cool game.
Yeah.
He had a TurboGrafx Express, and it was a big, blocky, handheld TurboGrafx. You know,
oh, like the handheld Neo Geo?
Game Boy version of
yeah.
it. Think more like Game Boy, because it was lengthwise.
Okay.
But it was in color.
Ooh, Game Boy color didn't come out for a while.
Yeah, we're talking early 90s, yeah, 92, 93. That was awesome. But that's 16-bit.
Nice.
For 64-bit, the only thing I had was the... I did Nintendo 64.
You mean Nintendo 64?
Yeah. None of the other systems. Didn't have a PlayStation. Didn't have none of those.
I had to go over to my friend's house to play his Nintendo 64.
To play the wrestling games?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I used to love those freaking wrestling games. The Nintendo 64. That was the golden age of wrestling games, Chris. That was another one of those games that kind of got me. Because I would do some stuff, and I would come home, and I would just sit in my back room with my headphones on, listening to whatever music I was listening to at the time, and rather not talk about it.
Some ICP.
Probably. or maybe Linkin Park. But and I would just do the create a character, and I would create like the most awesome character.
Yeah.
And make him look like whatever character that I was trying him to that he was trying to be. And
then like a real person.
And I would just whoop up on everybody.
So we're talking like the THQ
titles. We're talking what, WrestleMania 2000.
That was the culmination.
And I saw WCW anyway. Versus NWO.
Yes.
Those are the two. Was there
one that was like World something? World Tour? WCW?
NWO World Tour.
Yeah. Was one.
Yeah, they were both for the Nintendo 64, and they both run on the same engine.
Yeah.
It was the same controls for both games.
And then that company, THQ, their licensing rights changed from WCW to they signed with WWE.
Yeah.
And they've been making, I think they're still making them, right?
I'm pretty sure.
Because they just put out a new wrestling game that people are talking about. Are they?
So
it's not the same style?
No. I mean, it is.
I haven't played one in so long.
But they're all clunky, and they're trying to make them realistic. And that was the fun of those wrestling games. They were so outlandish and over the top.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, jumping off the top rope, hitting somebody's face into the belt buckle, and all of a sudden they'd look at you, and they'd grab their face, they'd go back, and there'd be red streaks on it. It's like, yeah, made them bleed.
Yeah, I love making them bleed.
Gotta make them bleed.
That was great.
Yeah, no, at a certain point in time, I got so good at the game that I wouldn't pin my opponent unless I made them bleed.
You would make them bleed first?
Yeah. But there was one guy who would never bleed, Chris. One guy who could never get to bleed.
Undertaker?
Dean Malenko.
Dean Malenko wouldn't bleed.
Dean Malenko wouldn't bleed.
Because he's the Iceman. He's too cold.
Dude. Dean Malenko would not bleed.
The
every
man of a thousand
time,
colds.
He wouldn't bleed. For some reason, I could never get him to bleed.
It's because he has no blood. He was a robot. He was a machine. He was the least charismatic wrestler ever, but he was technically so great.
Dean Malenko, dude.
Iceman.
Yeah.
Actually, my favorite, speaking of making wrestlers bleed, was when he would just walk up to the guy. And just like hit like strong A, yeah. Just rear back and pop him one in the face.
Oh, yeah.
And then that makes him bleed. Like, yeah, all I did was punch you.
Gotta make him bleed, bro.
Stupid.
But yeah, no, I missed out. I mean, I missed out on the entire PlayStation run, all those Final Fantasy games, one of the greatest RPGs of all time, Final Fantasy VII. I never played it.
Really?
Ever. Not once.
Is that when Resident Evil started?
Yeah. Resident Evil started at the same time.
Yeah.
That whole horror survival genre, which, you know what? There's really only been one game of the horror survival genre that I've really enjoyed. And that's a nice segue into the next generation of consoles.
Sixth generation.
This is the Xboxes, the PS2s, the Sega Dreamcasts. Well, actually, I guess Sega Dreamcast technically would have been during the last generation. Skipped over.
Dreamcast was one of them disc. It was a disc game,
yeah,
right?
It was disc. Yeah, but it was.
But it was before the Xbox and the.
Yeah, but
well, PlayStation
was
a
disc as well. But still, PlayStation was so clunky.
Sega Saturn was around that time period.
But no, Sega Saturn came out around PlayStation.
I'm thinking Sega CD.
Oh, that was the first one.
That was terrible.
That came out, and terrible. Then the PlayStation came out.
But they didn't really get it right. Until
all right, so quick backtrack. Dreamcast. Did you ever play any Dreamcast games?
Were
you ever into the Dreamcast?
That was the one with the big controller.
Yeah.
I think Soul Calibur was the only game I ever played on. Yeah, Soul Calibur. And I think that was in college.
Oh, Aaron.
Yeah.
Aaron's Dreamcast.
Yeah, so it was years after kids were actually playing it because it was the console to play. Yeah. And we were playing it just because that's what everyone played Soul Calibur on.
Well, it's because Soul Calibur was an amazing game.
It was.
Matt Miliano kept his freaking Dreamcast for like 6 years just so we could play Soul Calibur.
Smart guy.
Oh, it was so amazing.
Smart guy.
So amazing.
Acclaimed author, Matt Miliano.
And in all reality, for the time period, I mean, Sega Dreamcast, that was best graphics on the market.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
by
for
far.
Sure.
I mean, it was PlayStation 2 graphics in the time of PlayStation 1.
Just the games were terrible.
Oh yeah, they were god awful. They were really, really bad.
Absolutely.
I think Soul Calibur, and there was another weird fighting game. Oh man, what was it? Something about power crystals. I know. I think
and you're like tiny people, yeah, and you're throwing things.
Yeah, jumping around.
Yeah, people flip out on that game. You can like look up YouTube videos of people playing that shit. It's
really
ridiculous. Yeah.
Dude, I remember we used to get down in some pretty wicked matches of that game.
Johnny the Hater loves that stuff.
Really?
It's one of the things Johnny the Hater doesn't hate.
No, man.
It's like power crystals or...
Dude, you know, and I think we used to get down on that together. Pretty sure.
You and Johnny the Hater?
Well, me and somebody, because I know Aaron had that freaking, he had the Dreamcast at your apartment, didn't he?
Ron B. Long Beach, Inglewood.
Inglewood and Heezy. I mean,
yeah, I think so.
It was sitting there.
Yeah,
I'm
I think
sure
so.
We all used to play it.
I think so.
Pretty sure. All right.
There were various living situations during those years.
Yeah.
It was a tumultuous time.
Oh, actually, no, I was wrong. That generation opened. The Dreamcast was the launch
of the sixth generation.
All
right, so it was on the cusp.
Yeah, it was on the cusp. It was the launch. It was the first.
But I mean, it wasn't the best though. Not of the. I mean, all right. So Xbox, PS2. You've had them both, have you?
I had a PS2. I didn't own an Xbox per se, but.
But you've known plenty of people. You know people who've had them.
Well, I was living. At that point in time, it was college years, so I was living with people who had Xboxes.
Yeah.
It pretty much was mine for all intents and purposes.
Because it was there to be used.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had both.
It's like I've never owned an Xbox 360, but I've played one for years.
Well,
exactly. Exactly. There you go. So, of the two, which did you prefer, the Xbox or the PlayStation 2?
Oh man, I'm gonna say the PS2 for the controller and just the sheer amount of video games that came out for that freaking system. I mean,
they cranked them out.
Japanese. Well, it's because it's Japanese, so
that,
you know,
they already had that market going. They
exactly.
Just, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
all they had to do
ridiculous.
Was transfer it for America. So there were. I mean, there were even some weird ass Japanese games that I didn't even understand that I was playing. You know, dude, I got the symbol from Japan. What do you do? I don't know. I don't understand the instructions or what it says on the screen.
The wonderful day of the import. That's great.
So yeah, no, it was weird. But. On the same note, I really enjoyed the Xbox because you could mod it.
Oh, yes. The old mod. Yeah.
The old modded Xbox because it had a huge hard drive on it, and all you had to do was take a game, put it on there, and you had the game forever. It was awesome.
So
it was
illegal.
Oh, totally. Dude, Blockbuster loved me, and they were going out of business.
Oh, because you were running
and
games
I was
like
there
crazy.
Every day. I was like, yeah, I got this game. I'm turning it back in. Why? Because and that was actually Gamefly was around too. I used to do that with Gamefly games.
Oh yeah, nice.
I would get Gamefly games.
Gamefly's not
just,
around anymore.
Well, Gamefly's still around, but it just started. Yeah.
Yeah.
Who needs Gamefly?
It is a pretty. I mean, they tried, but it's not the same as Netflix.
And at the time, it was a good way to get video games because even the big chains, if you went there, most of the time the game you wanted wasn't there.
You mean like a Blockbuster type of deal?
Yeah. Or Hollywood Video, or whatever the F used to be around.
Back in the day. Back in the day, kids.
Back in the day when you used to have to go to a physical place to rent movies. They didn't just insert into your television screen.
Man, I remember the last days of my Xbox all modded up. I had like some games that are so sweet. The Rockstar's game for the Warriors.
Yeah, that was a great game.
Dude,
but
that was during the dying days of Xbox.
They were already planning on the next one. In all reality, well, I mean, I guess I can start talking about Rockstar now. I mean, that's...
Rockstar started with Xbox.
Rockstar started with Xbox and the PS2. I mean, and definitely one of my favorite video game producers. Just about everything they've done, except for the Midnight Club stuff, because I'm really not into racing.
Okay.
I mean, the last racing game.
You don't play racing games.
The last racing game that I really played was F-Zero.
Yeah.
And that was Super Nintendo.
Well, what about you? You must have gone down on some Mario Kart.
Okay, yeah.
Everyone got down on Mario Kart 64.
Oh,
even if you didn't
own
one, everyone
got down on that.
Yeah. That was.
Well, I mean, and back to 64. I mean, that was the birth of the multiplayer first-person shooter, GoldenEye. The crowning achievement.
Man, don't mention GoldenEye, bro.
The crowning achievement. And that's why I want to mention GoldenEye,
because you know
about GoldenEye.
He kills my brother. My brother was like 10 years old when I was playing him. I was much older than him, and he will destroy me.
Well, I mean, I hate to do this, but we did just record an episode of Cinema Crespity, so we talked about this silly movie that we just saw called Ender's Game. And they brought up a very good point there. Dude, kids' reaction times.
Yeah, they're better.
Are faster.
I was a teenager. It's not like I was
still,
an old man. I was still young.
Dude, I was in college. I thought I was so good at Soul Calibur. Uh-huh. So good. And I really am.
Yeah.
I mean,
you are. Yeah.
Anybody that I play in our group of friends or that I've even met who are like, oh, I play Soul Calibur, I will mop the floor with you.
Right.
I did a Soul Calibur tournament over at Rocky's Replay over here in Orlando when it used to be here. First round, I got destroyed by some 9-year-old Asian kid. He mopped the floor with me. I didn't even win a round. One, two, three, you're out. You lost $20. Have a nice day.
That sucks. Kid's a ringer.
I'm sitting there going, what is going on? What?
He's hired by Rockies.
Dude, he destroyed me.
That's funny.
So, yeah, I can. But dude, oh, man, GoldenEye. GoldenEye was amazing. I used to play so much. At my high school, we had a quote-unquote senior lounge, which was basically a closet in the cafeteria, but it was one of the super wide. It was one of the huge closets, and it had a couple power outlets in there, and they put up, cubicle walls.
All right.
And on either side of the cubicle walls, you could clearly see all of the extra cafeteria tables and chairs that were in the storage room where it became our quote-unquote senior lounge.
Right up.
Somebody brought in their old Nintendo 64 and a copy of GoldenEye. Dude, it was the GoldenEye room.
Yeah.
If you went into that room at any point in time during the day,
it was
there were at least two people playing GoldenEye.
That's ridiculous.
And there was a giant sign right next to it. You know what it said?
No video games.
No odd job.
Oh, no odd job.
That was the school rule. Yeah. No odd job. You could not play as odd job. It was not fair.
Not fair.
Dude, I mean, you'd go to hit somebody square in the chest, and it would just right over his head every time.
Yeah.
Freaking odd job.
Yeah.
Terrible.
No odd job.
No odd job.
That's pretty awesome.
So back to what we're talking about, Rockstar Games. Yeah, just about everything they've put out, I've enjoyed. Whether it be the Red Dead series.
Right.
Revolver or Redemption.
So whether it be those games.
Whether it be the Grand Theft Auto series, whether it be GTA 3, Vice City.
Yes.
4. And, I mean, the newest one, 5, which is freaking mind-blowingly amazing. I mean, any of those games, you know, they just stand... San Andreas, and they all stand head and shoulders above the rest.
Yeah.
It's just, they're one of those companies that just puts out a quality product every time, and I love it.
They're like the Pixar video games.
They really are. I mean, every once in a while they have a stinker. I mean, L.A. Noire was pretty terrible.
Yeah, right now, then you're going to get a Cars 2 or
but
something.
At the same time, for as terrible of a game as I guess it was to play and story-wise... Technically, it was phenomenal.
It did have a lot going for it. It had a lot going for it in terms of the whole
pretty.
The facial thing,
facial
and the way they used actors. And yeah, I thought that was very, very good stuff. The story did just get like kind of repetitious after a while.
Exactly.
Getting the gameplay and all that.
Yeah, oh god, the gameplay was god-awful.
Yeah, it wasn't too hot.
Yeah.
I did like how they ripped off part of the taxi driver score for part of their score.
Did they?
Yeah.
I didn't even notice.
I could play it later if you know. There's definitely a couple of tracks where it's straight rip off of a. It's pretty funny.
Awesome.
It's pretty awesome.
Good for you, Rockstar.
No movies. It's not a movie show.
Good for you, Rockstar. Well, of course you're gonna. I mean, Chris, that's your bag. That's your jam. What you're gonna be.
It's my point of reference.
Exactly. That's what you were exactly. It's your point of reference.
I did play GTA 3 a bunch. But after that one, I've only I haven't even touched the fifth one yet because I don't know. It's just what are you gonna
do?
It's
pretty intense, dude.
It's all the same shit.
Yeah, it's pretty intense.
just more. It's all the same except more.
I mean, I really liked Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. It's probably the best one, even though 5 is really good. We're back in the same city.
You would still say San Andreas is the fourth one?
No, it was Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
That's just its own thing?
Well, yeah, because it
was GTA 3.
GTA 3, Vice City, San Andreas.
Vice City, San Andreas.
And then GTA 4. And then GTA 5. Because technically, all three of those games... all ran on the same engine.
Oh, okay. So they didn't they didn't invent anything new for it.
No,
so they didn't want to call it the next one.
And they all ran on the same consoles, too.
I got you.
So...
I got you.
You know, they didn't want... I don't know if that's the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, it makes sense, though.
It's the way it was. But I really enjoyed... One thing that I really enjoyed about the first two games that I kind of wish they would have brought back, but I mean, I guess I understand why they didn't... character development is the reason. But the main character didn't talk. Grand Theft Auto 3, your guy, he didn't say a word. The entire game, you were just there. People talked to you. Mm-hmm. They said stuff to do. You went and did it. You didn't say a word.
Interesting. Never noticed that.
Your character didn't say a single word in that game.
Never noticed.
And I thought it was just the coolest thing ever. You're ice cold, man. I got nothing to say. You tell me to kill somebody, I go kill him. You pay me the money, it's done. There's no, nope, I got it.
Cold as ice.
Yeah, cold. I loved it.
Makes conversations awkward.
Well, that and on top of it, I mean, sometimes these video game writers aren't as talented as the movie writers and the TV writers and people of that nature.
That's true, yeah.
And sometimes I just don't care to hear what these stupid characters have to say. Sometimes.
Most of the time.
I mean, that's not necessarily the case, though, all the time. I mean, especially Grand Theft Auto V, the character of Trevor Phillips, every word that comes out of that man's mouth is pure gold. It is fantastic. I think, oh man, he's talking, like, at one point in time, they're talking about, you know, like, what their shtick is. Like, what are you into? And Trevor's line is, what is it? It's, incest, murder, and meth. That's what he's into.
Goodness gracious.
Incest, murder, and meth. And it's just, it's the most hilarious thing ever. I just laugh every time he says it. Every time he says it. And it's almost the truth, because this character, so that's his bag. When you're first introduced to Trevor Phillips in Grand Theft Auto V,
yeah.
He's a spoiler alert. Spoiler alert, people. If you haven't played Grand Theft Auto V.
Most people, if they want to play, they've played it by now.
I hope you have. And I hope you've spent some decent time in it. And you've gotten past the point where all three characters are introduced. Because in the first, because he's introduced to you. He kills a character, a previous protagonist from a previous Grand Theft Auto title. Grand Theft Auto 4 had a DLC called The Lost and the Damned. You played a biker gang. Well, in Grand Theft Auto 5, the first scene, that biker Trevor is banging his girlfriend, and then the dude finds out, and they get in a confrontation, and Trevor asks if he wants to bang, and then the dude's like, no, it's all messed up, blah, 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 meth, and then Trevor stomps his face in.
Okay. All right.
Literally stomps his head in and then goes somewhere and tells all his friends that he just killed his buddy. And then if they want to talk to him, then they should talk to this weird pink matter at the bottom of his shoe.
Nice.
It's amazing. It's fantastic. It's psychotic.
And
I love it.
And you love it. So that's your guy.
He's my man. That's my boy.
Right on.
Like your homie, your homie with Chewie, you tell EG4.
Chewie.
My homie's Trevor Phillips, bro.
All right. Well.
Me and TP Industries, bro.
Got
locked tight.
Incest and what?
Incest, murder, and math.
Okay. Just making sure we get that.
I'm really not into either of those things.
Either? Which one are you into?
I mean, murder serves a purpose. Okay. Murder can serve a purpose. Incest, not so much. And meth, I'm just not into uppers.
Okay.
So.
Right on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pro murder.
Oh man, another one of my. While we're still in this genre of consoles, what was the name of that movie? The tagline was "Murder Incarnate," but the name of the island was Carnate.
Wasn't that the Survivor game? Was the something?
The second one was The Suffering.
The Suffering.
Oh, talking about horror survival games.
That was a great game. I don't know about the second one. The first one was great.
The second one was god awful. Yeah. I played it. It was so bad.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Dude, that first one.
Playing in the dark. Ooh, Nelly.
No, exactly.
Ooh, baby.
Turn out all the lights and just sit there. And two grown-ass men will scream like little girls like every 15 minutes. Like every 15 minutes. Like, oh, my God. What the hell was that?
Yeah, that game was crazy.
Oh, dude. Things were coming out of the dark and up out of the ground.
Also, a game that freaked me out around the same time was the... I guess it was the last Doom game.
Oh, the one where you're the
Doom 3?
Yeah, where it's all creepy and in space.
Well, they're all in space and creepy.
Well,
they're all on Mars.
Yeah, but I mean
they're not only on Mars, but it's always a Martian planet that has a portal to hell opened up to it. How yes. creepier can you get?
Yeah. It's well, Doom. I mean,
the first one,
the graphics were so bad that it was almost campy.
Well,
you know?
Look back on it now, yeah.
Well, and even that, even back then when it first came out, yeah, and I was playing it. I wasn't afraid of the giant flaming demon head monster.
Okay, that's true. I playing Doom and Doom 2, I was never really afraid of it. The game got tense because I wanted to win, but I never was like, oh my god.
No, Doom 3 straight up scared the crap out of people.
Yeah, it did. That was a crazy game.
I remember watching you play that game
sometimes,
and after like 10 or 15 minutes, I would just leave the room.
I can't take
it. I'm like, this is too much for me. This is really freaking tense. Just
dark corridors, and like, oh no.
All of a sudden, evil monster!
Yeah, those two games.
No, yeah, dude, totally, oh, way scary. Yeah.
Oh, it makes me want to play Doom 3.
Man, talking about all those Doom games, those first-person shooters, man. Be it the Wolfensteins, the Dooms, the Quakes. Do you remember Quake?
I loved Quake.
Did you ever get down on some Quake?
Loved Quake.
Did you ever play it online?
No.
Never played it online.
No, because that was, what, 90s?
Yeah.
We're talking dial-up modems, bro.
Yeah.
No, we weren't. That shit you had to pay by the minute. AOL, what are you kidding me, bro? You think I'm made out of money? I was lucky enough to be able to play Quake.
My buddy had a 56K modem in his house. We used to play Quake.
Oh, what a beast.
Oh, dude, it was so awesome.
I think I was using a 14.4.
I was using a 28.
See, these numbers don't even make sense to the kids. I do remember if you took Quake the game and put it in your CD player.
The soundtrack.
You can listen to the Quake soundtrack.
Yes.
Done by Trent Reznor.
Yes, I do remember that.
And it was all just like,
because
just crazy noises.
Because I remember that Nine Inch Nails was really big then. And
they're huge.
And all the Nine Inch Nails kids would carry around their Quake CDs with them with their in the CD.
I couldn't really listen to it as a...
I don't think they ever actually listened to it. They just kept it.
Just like, oh, see, like, oh, I have it. Ooh, look, I have it. I have it.
I'm down. It's cool.
Yeah, it wasn't
It's very, cool.
It wasn't that listened
to. But, oh, man. But,
yeah, the first-person shooter, Halo.
Oh, good God, Halo.
How many hours have spent wasted just Halo deathmatches?
I mean, I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack for this. Especially with, you know, subsequent Call of Duties and Battlefields and Far Cries and all these other massively successful first-person shooters have come out.
Mm-hmm.
Halo 3, crowning achievement.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing better.
Yeah.
There is no need to make another first-person shooter ever again.
Halo 3 was the best.
There's no need.
And you know,
it should have ended right there.
And you know what sucks? Let me tell you what sucks. Halo 3... Right in its heyday, online. That's something I did play online.
Oh, dude, yeah.
And
of course, we used to tear it up.
Millions and millions of people playing it at any given time. So you could always jump on there and just deathmatch crazy, right? And then in the subsequent years, they put out Halo ODST, Halo this, Halo
good.
That. They put out
not
like four
good.
More Halo games.
I haven't, dude, Halo 4 is sitting.
I don't know, we got Halo 4 here.
I haven't even played it.
Unfortunately, it's not as good as Halo 3. And... with all those subsequent Halo games, now Halo 4 coming out, no one's popping in their Halo 3 disc to go online for that. You go online to try to play Halo 3, get a deathmatch going. There's like four people playing. One of them is in Iceland. He's not even playing the game. The game's just been stuck in his console for a few years.
You know, there might be a small resurgence, Chris, in that. I'm not sure if it's right now. No, it was the end of October. Every Xbox Live every 2 weeks has been giving out quote-unquote games for gold. If you're a gold member subscriber, you get a free game.
Uh-huh.
Last week, the end of October, games for gold, Halo 3.
Halo 3 was a free game?
Gratis.
So think people are out there playing it again?
Maybe.
Man.
Maybe,
Chris.
Do
we still have a copy of that laying around?
Do you? Because I don't.
Oh, boy. Have to go digging.
I mean, if you have your copy, because I'm a big fan of trading in my video games for new ones because I'm poor. But I don't trade in yours. And you have, I mean, you've got.
I might have. I don't know.
You've got a bunch of games sitting in there that I'm pretty sure you still have your Xbox games in that freaking drawer, Chris.
There's some good games in there, bro.
If you had an Xbox, I could play The Suffering right now.
I got Halo 2.
The Suffering is right in there.
Well, let's play it.
It can scare the crap out of me tonight.
That doesn't work? Not backwards compatible?
No.
Well then, fuck Xbox.
It's not backwards.
Because I want to play me some Doom 3.
Oh, Doom Trace. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, Halo 3, I would agree. Halo 3 is the best first-person shooter. Screw all these new war games and all that stuff. Well, I mean, yeah. it's looking nicer.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. None beats Halo 3.
No.
No. Agreed.
Agreed.
All right.
100%.
Cool.
All right. Man. Xbox. Like, I'm trying to think of any other games that, like, that had... Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so many hours and hours and hours and hours. I mean, days worth of time spent playing Tiger Woods.
I mean, it's kind of sad when I don't play golf or watch golf.
But you can name golf courses?
Well, that, and every once in a while when I flip on SportsCenter and somebody's on a tee, I look at the tee and I was like, I've been there.
I've played there.
I've played that course.
Yeah, it looks
that's
familiar.
That's hole 9. It's TPC Sawgrass or something, you know? Like, what?
Yeah.
It's
a weird feeling.
It is. It's strange.
I also spent a lot of time playing the first couple of Splinter Cell games. Actually, the first Splinter Cell game, then the third one. I know they're up to like 5 or 6, maybe even more Splinter Cell games
right now. A new one just came out a couple months ago. Yeah, I haven't even touched it.
Yeah, one just came out recently, but the first one and the third one. The third one was like, oh, so good.
Chaos Theory?
I just remember being the third one. I just remember skipping over the second one for whatever reason. When I picked up the third one, I was like, this is great.
Dude, those stealth games are a lot of fun.
They can be.
It's fun sneaking around, hiding bodies, and snapping people's necks.
They can be fun. Or they can be frustrating.
Oh, equal both, probably. Yep. But, I mean, games like that really segue into the 8th generation games.
The 8th or 7th?
7th.
7th, which is the current?
Yes.
The end, the one we're finishing on right now.
Yeah,
the last days
well,
of the 7th generation.
I mean, it's November.
It's Movember.
By the end of this month, we will be in the 8th generation of consoles.
Oh, really? It's already coming out? Yeah,
Xbox
that's true.
Xbox One comes out the end of November.
That's true. And the what? What
PlayStation 4 soon. It's like the second week of December, I think. Something like that.
Crazy. So we have we're talking now Xbox 360 and PS3, right? That's all there is in the marketplace now.
Oh, I mean, unless you're going handheld, unless you've got, you know, Nintendo DS or a
true.
Wii.
Wii, forgot about Wii.
I mean, Nintendo, for all intents and purposes, is the undisputed king of video games. They always have been, and they probably always will be. But I don't like the Wii.
A lot of people don't like it. It's made for kids. It's not really. It wasn't made with adults in mind. Maybe family wise, but it's mostly for kids. And
I'm not kidding anymore.
Exactly. So that's why you go for the Xbox and especially the PlayStation. Isn't PlayStation known more for being like more adult games or on
PlayStation? Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, there are even the PS2 was adult. I mean, Manhunt, come on. Another great Rockstar game.
Manhunt's crazy.
Do you remember how incredibly, horrifically violent that game was?
The first half of the game, and then it just turns into a shootout.
Yeah. But, I mean, and even just the premise of that game, you're just some dude in some weird, crazy funhouse what?
Like a Running Man type of deal.
Yeah,
And Brian Cox is the voiceover, the director.
Yeah.
He's saying creepy things to you, but like Brian Cox.
No, yeah, I mean, and even more recently, this game called The Last of Us, which even I haven't played yet.
That's the one with Ellen Page?
No, that's Beyond Two Souls, which I also haven't played.
I'm mixing all these games up. The Last of Us, I've heard of that one.
Yeah, and Willem Dafoe's in that one, too.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
I know, right? But no, this game, The Last of Us, it's done by Naughty Dog, the people who do the Uncharted series.
Okay.
Which I've never played because I don't own a PlayStation 3.
I've heard about them.
I've heard nothing but good things about them.
For it's Indiana Jones light.
Yeah, but it's put out by them, and from everybody who's played this game that I've talked to, has told me that after like the first 3 hours of playing the game, they kind of want to turn it off because they don't feel good anymore.
Really?
Like
one of those things.
It's just that brutal and depressing.
Oh man!
That like they just like I was talking when I went out to New York to see Billy.
Billy D.
Local show correspondent, and sure, for this one too. He's into video games, I'm sure. I'll let him know he's a correspondent for another podcast. I got to send him that memo. But yeah, talking to this...
I think you just did.
Talking to this guy, Tim, up there. He was just like, it's really depressing. He's like, I've been playing it for like 3 hours, and I'm just sad. He's like, I just don't feel happy.
That sucks.
I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I mean, he's like, the game is really good.
Yeah.
But, he's just like, ugh. I just don't feel good after playing it.
So, like, real quick, what's it about? Like, what's the, in
basically
a nutshell?
The end of the world. Post-apocalyptic. You're a guy with this little girl.
Uh-huh.
You're not related, so somehow you've come together.
Yeah.
And you're trying to survive this crazy world where it's actually based on a Planet Earth episode. Do you remember BBC's Planet Earth?
Absolutely.
Where they had the ants that had the crazy...
The fungus
in their head?
Yeah, that takes over. Yeah.
That makes them go crazy and then crawl up to the highest spot and then explode more fungus everywhere?
Yeah.
That with humans.
Oh, all right. Right on.
So...
Interesting.
Yeah.
I read an unproduced screenplay once that was kind of along those lines.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really weird.
Yeah, that's crazy. That sounds like fun.
Super depressing, though. Although I really want to play it.
Well, now that I know it's really depressing, I want to play it. Yeah. It's like the other game
exactly.
That we were talking about earlier.
Exactly.
I guess I'm really into just depressing.
Man, I need to find you some really depressing arty games for you to play.
There we go.
And you'll probably be... balls deep into it. Almost as balls deep as I am into Assassin's Creed.
Assassin's Creed 4
right now.
That's what you're into right now.
Oh, dude. I mean, I've been...
We have been brought up to current.
So what? The last... How many days have I been playing this?
Well, when did it come out?
Tuesday.
So since then.
It's been a week straight of playing this game.
And it's a fourth one?
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean,
and you're
this,
a pirate.
Yeah. This entire series just... It has me. And it wasn't the gameplay that got me the first time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a Ubisoft title, so they do Splinter Cell. Okay. Same company.
Ubisoft. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of that stealthy, you know, type stuff, which I can be into. But the first game, it was the gameplay was not really that good.
Okay.
It was really clunky. The fighting system wasn't that good either. But what this series got me with was its story. Straight up, just
story.
What is going on in this video game? You know, the universe that they have created,
it is,
I would put this on par with any movie script, with, you know, any sci-fi book series, with anything. This universe that they have created with the Assassin's Creed series between, you know, it's basically an eternal battle between the Templars, who... You know from history.
Yeah, Knights Templar.
Well, imagine there's...
Hired to protect the Holy Grail from Indiana Jones.
Yes. Or an evil multinational corporation that has been around since the dawn of time that's been trying to enslave humanity.
Those guys too.
Yeah.
The Illuminati.
Exactly. It brings in all of those characteristics.
Okay.
Of, you know, popular culture and, you know, conspiracy theory and sci-fi and all this stuff, and it blends them all into this really distinct picture of what's going on, and it is top notch, and it's like nothing else that I've ever seen.
Well, that's cool.
It really is on par with movies these days. In fact, I'm pretty sure somebody's trying to make a new movie right now.
Fassbender.
Oh, the Fassbender.
We're not talking about movies. The only game I've ever played, and you know, we've been talking about this shit for a while now. I've played my fair share of games. The only game I've ever played where the story, I've actually was like interested in what's going on as a story and didn't feel compelled to just hit skip every time I got to a cutscene.
Yeah.
Was BioShock.
Yeah.
Was that a 360 game or an Xbox game?
It was a 360.
All right, it's good. So we're still in the current
generation. Yeah.
BioShock. I played the first one. I haven't played the second one. I heard the third one is awesome. But then I also read online recently what the big, quote, twist of the third one is.
Uh-huh. It's kind of lame.
No, it's not lame. It's actually pretty great. And it makes me wish that I didn't know what it was and I just played the game.
Oh.
Because the first one has a crazy twist where they're all about... flipping video game conventions.
Yeah.
And the big twist in the first BioShock game is that, you know, it's the whole thing where when the game starts out, you're just this character and you're communicating with someone on a radio, and it's that old age thing where as soon as they had voice stuff in video games, someone's been telling your character what to do.
Yeah.
You know, go in this room, go do this. This is your mission. You have to go do that, whatever. Mm-hmm. So in the game starts, and you're communicating with someone, and this person's telling you run around this place and do all these crazy things, supposedly to help you. And then 3/4 of the way through the game, you find out that the person you're communicating with is the bad guy, and
they've been screwing yourself the whole time.
They've been using you the whole time, and then it turns it on you, and now you have to find the guy, and now the voiceover thing, now he's just taunting you for the rest of the game. And you're like, no, you were helping me, but you weren't helping me, and now you're hating on me, and I hate you. That was a great... That, like, legitimately blew me away when I played. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude, video games these days are nothing to... Ain't nothing to fuck with, homie.
Video games ain't nothing to fuck with.
Exactly. I mean, it's gotten to a point where, they're almost interactive movies. I mean, it's almost...
That's what they're shooting for.
It's almost like you are the star of this epic 40-hour movie. And, yeah, there are cutscenes here to kind of lead and progress through plot and story and whatnot.
Yeah.
But... You are in control of the action scenes.
But then there's also a school of thought, and it's pretty prevalent. Your brain is interacting with the art in a different way. So when you're playing a video game and it's interactive and that you have to make decisions and then you're stopping the story to, you know, do fight scenes or solve a puzzle or whatever, you're engaging different parts of your brain. So you're not intaking everything in the same way as if you sat down to watch a movie or if you read a book.
Okay.
So that's part of there's a huge debate about are video games art? And I would say that they are art just because there's a lot that goes into it. It is very artistic. It is an artistic endeavor. But comparing it to other, I don't know. It's the same thing as trying to compare a movie to a book.
Yeah.
You know, that just as forms of media.
It's just a different art form.
Music, comparing a song to a painting.
Yeah, you know. No, exactly. I mean, at this point in time, if you're in the school of thought that video games are not art,
and you only see them as like a toy,
then you need to get the fuck out of the room.
They're getting, I mean, you can have artistic looking toys, a beautiful looking toy. That's still possible, even if you just see it as a toy. You can still,
if you don't see any artistic merit in what is going on, then you're fucking crazy.
You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. You are nuts.
Wouldn't know art if we beat you over the head with it.
I mean, in fact, video games have become so popular. All right, so video games, obviously, they're freaking popular. I'm freaking addicted to them.
Immensely popular.
I mean, they're a $1 billion industry.
Yep.
In the entirety of video games, Chris, the entirety of video game dumb. What's the most popular? What is the number one video game system of all time?
Is this Drew's Clues? Are we playing Drew's Clues?
Sure, why not? This will be from this point on, every question that I ask will be considered part of Drew's Clues. So I'm going to be asking you a bunch of questions now because we're getting into actual facts and numbers that I have as opposed to just, you know, conjecture and opinion.
Most successful system ever?
Yes. Video game console hardware.
Video game console hardware. I'm going to say the Nintendo Wii. Because I remember being sell out crazy.
Number five.
Do I get another guess?
Sorry, the answer we were looking for was the PlayStation 2.
The PlayStation 2! God damn it!
At number two, we have the Nintendo DS.
Okay.
We're going to go with numbers here. So PlayStation 2 total. North American, 53.65 million consoles sold.
Wow.
Same, 55.28 in Europe. Only 23.18 in Japan.
Interesting.
But I mean, Japan's smaller.
Yeah, that's true.
Lots of people.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah.
And the rest of the world, another 25 million for a grand total of 157.68
Wow. All right.
Individual consoles.
Right.
Coming number two, got Nintendo DS with a total global total of 154.8. Game Boys after that, 118. PlayStation 1, 104.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Wii at number five with 100. Straight even.
Nice.
Xbox 360 is like 78 million.
Really?
PS3 is 80.
kind of expensive, though, those things. I mean, they've always been...
The original Nintendo only sold 61 million.
Hmm, that's interesting.
It was a huge hit in the United States.
I almost said original Nintendo. I almost went with that.
33 million in the U.S. Everywhere else, almost nothing.
Huh. Alright. Interesting.
Almost nothing. Xbox is down to number 16. I mean, good lord. Even, the PCFX. I found it again, Chris.
The PCFX is back.
And they have sold under a million units.
No wonder.
Yes. All right. So, PlayStation 2. That is, seems like that is the end-all be-all of video game systems.
Wow.
And that's... I had a PS2. You have a PS2?
No.
Didn't have a PS2, really.
I've never owned any PlayStation unit.
I mean, I had a PS2 pretty much for Grand Theft Auto 3. I mean, it came out, and I was like, oh my god, I must own. I have to have... Because I was a fan of the Grand Theft Auto series since it was on computer, and you were looking down on it.
Yeah. Like the first Postal game.
Oh, that game. You know what? When that game came out... You know who put up the money for me to buy it? Almost as a joke. Almost. Because she just wanted to see what it was. My mom.
Your mom wanted you to go buy the game?
You want to know why?
Why?
She was a postal worker.
Oh, all right. There you go.
She just wanted to see what it was all about.
Yeah.
So I got it and I got to play it and she was kind of freaked out by it.
I'm sure she was.
So consoles, obviously, PlayStation 2, biggest of all time. Now we're gonna get into the biggest selling games, all
right,
of all time.
Best selling.
So Chris,
game,
the number one selling game of all time.
I'm gonna go with my gut on this one and say, oh, what he just said. I'm going to say... I'm trying to think back at the other numbers you were just throwing out there. I wanted to say Super Mario Brothers, but you said there's only 61 million copies of Nintendo sold, or consoles sold.
The consoles, yes.
Would it be Sonic the Hedgehog?
That is wrong.
No! Ah!
You were close, though. Super Mario Brothers for the original Nintendo.
Yeah.
Comes in at number 2.
God damn, really?
Global total sales, 40 million units.
40 million copies of that game.
But you also have to realize this was... Mario was also a bundle game.
That's what I was trying to think of. I was trying to think of a game that came with a lot of systems.
You had the option of getting it with the system.
That's what I was thinking.
And, you know, unless you're buying a replacement, mm-hmm, or you're buying the game separately or whatever...
Right.
Chances are you were going to get Mario Brothers when you bought a Nintendo.
Yeah, and you only have to buy the game separately if, like, your copy of the game broke because, I mean, it came with the freaking system.
Exactly. Or if somebody just bought you the console and didn't buy you a game.
Yeah.
You know, dick
move.
Shout
out to Mario 64. By the way. We forgot about that one.
And, by the way, dick move, by the way. Buying console, no game. Dick move.
Yeah, dick move. Dicks.
Dick move.
So what's number one?
Number one. You know, I'm going to give you another guess. But I'm going to give you a clue.
Oh, yes.
A Nintendo title.
Oh my god. Sold more Super Mario Bros. 3.
That's wrong.
Ah, god.
Super Mario Bros. 3. Super Mario Bros. 3. Does that even make the top 20?
Not even in the top 20.
Not even in the top 20.
Ah.
Number 22.
Ah.
17 million units.
Should have sold more. That game was fantastic.
Number 1. All time. Don't ask me how this happened. People must be buying multiple units of this game because it breaks or something. Wii Sports.
Ah, the Wii Sports.
81 million units.
What is that all about? But the how many Wii's were sold?
How many Wii's
were sold? I forgot that number, but it wasn't 81 million, was it?
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, what the hell? 81 million. God damn. Is that worldwide?
Yes.
God damn.
Global 40 in the U.S.
Wii Sports.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's a bundle. And I'm not going to lie.
Bundle game.
I'm not going to lie, though. Of all the Wii games, it's probably the only playable one besides, like, Mario Party.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got the bowling thing and the tennis. It's all fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Now, coming in number 3, we got Mario Kart for the Wii.
Okay.
Number four, Wii Sports Resort.
All right.
33 and 31 million copies each.
Ridiculous.
Number five for the Game Boy, Pokemon Red, Green, Blue version from 1996.
Red, Green, Blue. Now, does that mean it's counting all three of those? Because, you know, it's like there's the red cartridge, the green cartridge, and the blue cartridge.
Apparently, it's all the same game, though. It's just you got... There must be something different with it. But it's all listed as one.
Interesting.
31 million units.
Those Pokemon games, I guess with the Nintendo DS, they're still ridiculously huge.
Huge.
It's ridiculous.
Number six, Tetris.
Okay.
30 million units.
Classic.
The new Super Mario Bros. For DS is at number seven.
All right.
Number eight, Wii Play.
Wii Play. All right, another Wii game.
God number damn. Nine, Duck Hunt.
Another bundled game.
And number 10, to round out the top 10, new Super Mario Bros. Wii.
So all
the top 10 are all Nintendo. Actually, the top 15.
What's the first non-Nintendo game?
Your favorite and mine, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
Oh, really?
So yeah. So if it's not some crappy Nintendo game for kids or something that we grew up playing, whether it be Tetris, Super Mario, then it's something horrifically violent and very adult.
Nice.
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. Although, I'm pretty sure I don't mean to take anything away from Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. I still think it's the best of the Grand Theft Auto series. But I'm pretty sure the hot coffee incident is what did it.
Oh, yeah, the whole thing about you put in some code and there could be...
Only on the PC version.
And only on the PC version, too. Interesting.
Only on the PC version.
And it's like, so you can see some titties or something?
And actually...
And then they're like, screw it, we'll just put titties in the new one.
Man, even... Okay, so we go in through the top 25.
Still a bunch of Nintendo?
All Nintendo.
All Nintendo's. Paperboy on there?
Three.
Paperboy.
Paperboy's not on there.
Excitebike.
Not on there.
RC Ampro.
Think Xbox 360.
Oh, Xbox 360. Red Dead Redemption. GTA 5.
Close. The only three in the top 25 that aren't Nintendo based. Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. And Kinect Adventures.
A Kinect game. All right.
Yeah.
Whatever came with all the Kinect things that they sold.
Yeah. I mean, and even going into the top 30... Oh, okay. Just for shits and giggles, we're going to go to the top 32. And we'll round out with... we got Grand Theft Auto 5, Grand Theft Auto 3.
Uh-huh.
So all the Grand Theft Auto titles are in the top 32 selling games of all time.
Okay.
Between Grand... You've got Grand Theft Auto 3.
They're all in there.
Well, except for 4. Grand Theft Auto 4 is not... And I understand why. But it's in the top 50.
And then the rest are mostly Nintendo games.
Yeah. Actually, up through...
Rampage. Man, you remember Rampage?
Wow. Up through 32, it's pretty much all Nintendo.
Legend of Zelda.
Gran Turismo 3 comes in at 26. Mm. Call of Duty Modern Warfare. Right. And Black Ops at 29 and 30. And then... GTA 5 at 31, GTA 3 at 32.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I bet you if you added up all the Maddens over the years, boom, blow all those games out of the water.
Well, let me see if we're talking that, all of them, and we're getting into...
Franchises.
The closing segments of the show.
Oh, here we go.
With the top grossing video game franchises. Now this... This takes into account everything.
Okay.
We're talking TV.
Oh, and
movies.
All right, okay, I see.
Endorsements. I mean, blah, 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 blah. So what is the top grossing franchise?
You know, I think I keep saying the same answer, but I'm going to go with it again and say Super Mario Brothers.
You would be correct.
Yeah,
sir.
Yeah. Woo! About time.
Actually, I'm sorry, sir.
No. You take it away? You take it away?
I cannot accept that answer.
Super Mario Brothers? I got to say Super in front of it?
You can only say Mario.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you're right. Because Mario is the one thing that's consistent amongst everything. Absolutely.
Mario. Mario first appeared in 1981, Chris.
In
what game?
In the Donkey Kong.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
That was before starring in the Mario Brothers and the Super Mario Brothers. Mm-hmm. The Mario franchise has expanded into other game genres, including racing, Mario Kart, sports, because they have the most Mario Party. They have puzzle games like Dr. Mario.
Right.
And RPG, Super Mario RPG. They have a role-playing game. It's Final Fantasy style, but with Mario characters.
So they've done it all in terms of video games.
Yes, and this franchise also includes other media, including 3 animated television series, comic books.
I only remember the one with Lou Albano.
Manga, film, and other merchandise. It remains the best-selling video game franchise of all time.
Wow.
How many millions of dollars since July 9th, 1981 has Mario made?
How many millions it's made? Math. $750 million.
Oh, way overshot that one, buddy. 446.
God, that's still a lot. Almost half a billion.
Since 1981.
$446 million generated by Mario.
Just by the character
just
of
by
Mario.
Little
just
old
by
Mario.
That stupid...
That little plumber.
That racist Italian bastard.
That racist Italian plumber with the mustache.
Yep.
Good for him. Love Mario.
Yeah, I mean, technically, if you take that and you break it down to Super Mario and his platform of games, that's Super Mario, and that's just the games.
Okay.
$262
million. $262
million? Almost half of comes the Mario
just
franchise
from, just
comes
from the,
straight from the games.
Super Mario 1, 2, 3.
Well, and you got to... I don't know how many games there are for the Wii and for the Nintendo.
But they're Super Mario, though.
And for the Game Boy.
Does that count Mario 64?
Yeah.
Shout out to Mario 64.
It's Super Mario 64.
Super Mario, that's right it is. Yeah. Oh, so good. Such a good game.
All right.
Wow, Mario. Good job, Mario. Good job, Japan.
Number 3, Chris. What do you think it is? Think Japan, by the way.
Number 3.
Third most video game franchise of all.
We're gonna skip the second one?
Oh, I gave you the second one. The second one's Super Mario.
Oh, okay. I didn't catch that. I'm sorry. I didn't understand. So Mario overall, first one. Second one is Super Mario.
Yes.
Third one, best franchise overall. Taking everything into account. Thinking. I wonder would he accept what we
talked about it a little bit earlier.
Oh, did we?
Like just a couple minutes ago.
Oh shit! Well, I was about to guess.
God, that was so popular.
The GTA. We were just talking about that.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are incorrect, sir.
Damn it.
We would only accept Pokemon.
Oh, Pokemon! Of course, Pokemon.
Pokemon was actually created in 96 for the Game Boy as a video game. It started off as a video game.
Really?
And then soon turning into franchise merchandise into anime, manga, trading cards, toys, books, and other media.
No shit.
Started off
no
in Japan
shit,
as
Sherlock.
A straight up video games. There are 66 Pokemon games in total.
God damn. They keep cranking them out too. Pikachu, bro. He's the best. It's all about that Pikachu, yo.
Blows my freaking mind. Pokemon.
Good for you, Pikachu.
Number 4.
Pika, Pika.
Anything?
Man. Yeah, he got me. So it's got to be up there with Mario and Pokemon.
Big Nintendo. I don't think you're going to get it. Because I would have never thought of I wouldn't have even thought that this was a quote unquote series, but I guess because of the way that it's all worded, that it is technically
a
series.
All the games featuring that dog that pops up in Duck Hunt when you miss and it goes. And then pops right
No, actually, it's the Wii series of games, whether it be Wii Sports, Wii Bowling, Wii Golf.
Technically,
that's a franchise because it's a name brand.
Okay. I'll buy that.
$192.76 million in sales.
Crazy. Crazy. So much money spent. Come on, people. Starving kids, not even in Africa. They're starving kids in your neighborhood.
Wait a minute.
Oh, this is the wrong list.
My mistake.
Drew's looking.
No,
Drew read the list backwards.
I didn't read it backwards. I'm just saying all of this in millions of dollars, and I am mistaken.
Are they in billions?
They are in millions of...
Francs. Lira. Donuts.
Copies.
Okay, we're talking straight up copies. Copies sold.
copies, whether it be game. But how does that work with television series?
I don't know.
How does that work? All right, I'm getting fuzzy numbers here, but whatever. I mean, I did double check the at least the order of these.
Uh-huh.
So my order's correct.
All right, so that's all that matters.
My order is correct.
Mario, Pokemon, Wii. That's pretty much your top three.
Because
it's Mario, Super Mario, so I'm going to just lump them together.
All right, and then after that, we have the one that you just said, coming in at number four.
GTA?
Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
Started in 1997, they've sold 150 million units.
Got propelled with this last one.
This last one made
$1 billion.
Boom.
Yeah.
That's what launched the Grand Theft Auto series was this last one.
Yeah, got up to number four.
After that, rounding out, what is this, like the top 10, I guess? Just give me a minute, any order. The next, give me five franchises.
Five franchises.
I'll let you know if they're even on the last five.
Final Fantasy.
Yes, number 9.
Resident Evil.
No.
What's that one with the Castlevania?
No.
I got two more guesses. Franchises with lots of characters, the same one over and over, blah blah blah. Ghouls and Ghosts.
No.
Last guess. Here we go. Franchise. Top 10 franchises. What's his name? Qbert.
Incorrect.
Damn it!
You were 1 for 5 in that round.
Oh, man. That's what that feels like.
There we go, Chris. Now you feel my pain, buddy. How does it feel to go 1 for 5?
Woo, not good, buddy. Not good. All right, so
the answers are coming at
number six.
Yeah, sure. The Need for Speed series.
Nah, Need for Speed. Yeah.
150 million.
God, I should have thought of that. They're making a goddamn movie. We're not talking about movies. But they are making one based on that. So
after that, The Sims.
Oh, The Sims, yeah.
That was a cultural phenomenon.
Now,
are
we talking about just The Sims or all the Sim games like Sim Tower, Sim Copter?
No, SimCopter? This is just The Sims.
God damn, yeah, that's just by itself.
Yeah, Sim City.
Not even counting all that.
Sim City is the quote Sim franchise.
Yeah.
Sim City, Sim Earth, Sim City 2000. Dude, you don't even, it doesn't even register.
Wow, okay.
It's in like the top 100, I think.
Okay.
But
The Sims, okay.
Yeah. Believe it or not, after that, Tetris.
Oh, really?
It's
Tetris?
Everywhere, dude. But you,
good for Tetris.
You want to know why? It's because it's on everything.
Pretty much, right? It's so simple.
Dude, I had Tetris on my calculator in high school.
That's true. You can get Tetris on
your TI-82.
On your like little digital wristwatch.
I was about to say, I had Tetris on my TI-82.
Yeah.
So
it is everywhere.
Yeah. After that, Call of Duty.
Yeah,
Call of Duty
right,
series.
Of course. Yeah.
Everybody loves that Call of Duty crap.
See, I didn't even think of any of these recent ones like Call of Duty, Need for Speed. I was trying to think of classic stuff. I was getting hung up on that.
And then number 10, a classic. You actually.
Final Fantasy.
No, that was number 9.
Oh, no.
You actually own a copy of this for your Sega?
Oh, for Sega? NBA Jam.
Think Sports.
NHL 94.
The FIFA series.
Oh, yeah, I do have a FIFA. I have FIFA 94, 95.
The FIFA series sold 100 million copies.
God damn.
And then selling around 50 million copies or just over. We've got the Madden NFL franchise.
Uh-huh.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, right.
Tom Clancy series.
There's like so many of those Tom Clancy games.
Gran Turismo.
I think Splinter Cell technically counts as a Tom Clancy game, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Legend of Zelda, finally, with 68 million units.
Thought that would have been a little higher.
Dragon Quest series. I don't know if you heard that.
Dragon Quest. You mean like that stupid game with the... It was a cartoon, and you could never beat it. You couldn't even get past the first part.
Yep.
And it cost like a dollar to play around. And we're talking like $1984.
62 million units.
Screw that game.
Big in Japan.
Fools.
Then we get into the WWE 2K series.
Okay.
Battlefield, Resident Evil, my favorite Assassin's Creed, 57 million. Followed closely by Donkey Kong.
Nice, yeah, Donkey Kong, there's the racing, Donkey Kong 64. Donkey Kong 64 was a great game.
And then Halo after that.
Okay.
Halo should have been higher.
Oh, man. And then this. This is going to blow your mind.
Here we go. Mind blown. The 3, 2, 1.
The Bejeweled series.
What? Really?
You know, like Bejeweled Blitz?
Yeah, I know.
Started on May 30th, 2001. 50 million units sold.
What? Ridiculous.
Yeah. Puzzle game first developed as a game by PopCap Games in 2001.
It's a game you'll play when you're sitting at a bar in some shitty bar and you're doing the touchscreen games, man.
Yep. 50 million units, bro.
That's ridiculous.
Big money.
Crazy.
You know, then we get into the Lego series, Pac-Man, Just Dance, Tekken, Guitar Hero, Dragon Ball Z, Star Wars, right, NBA.
On. Oh, I love the Dragon Ball Z fighting games for the PlayStation 2. Love those games.
Street Fighters, rounding at the bottom, Mortal Kombat, James Bond, some Counter-Strike, maybe.
A lot of classic stuff in there.
Minecraft. The Tony Hawk series. Tony Hawk!
You went this whole time, I haven't mentioned Tony Hawk once.
Forgot about Tony Hawk.
So much time playing Tony Hawk.
Dude. Oh, I couldn't tell you. Oh, good lord.
You shed on the GameCube, didn't Tony Hawk start on GameCube?
Yep. The first level, the warehouse level, with the infinite loop, we just...
Yeah, you got to find all the loops.
It was points until you fell over, basically.
If you get that huge loop. Oh,
yeah,
man.
The infinite loop.
At the airport, there's one at the airport level. Yeah, the airport loop. Claim, yeah. That loop. If you could do that forever, just grind those reels, man.
Just grind them. Grind away.
Man, how we get so far into this episode and even talk about Tony Hawk?
Dude, there's a lot of video games out there.
There are.
I mean,
might have to do a follow-up video game episode.
We didn't even talk. We never talked about the SimCities, the Warcrafts, the...
We are going to have to do...
The Far Cry.
Sometimes. Maybe.
Worms. I mean, come on. Mass Effect. I didn't even get to talk about Mass Effect, and there are freaking three of them.
November 2014 should be the next video game episode.
Oh, so many video games. I barely even scratched the surface, and I've talked for over an hour.
Over an hour? Dude, this is almost a two-hour show.
Seriously?
Yeah.
This is effing ridiculous.
Yeah.
If it's 2 hours in and you are still listening...
Good on you, mate.
Bless your soul, because I would have stopped listening probably about an hour ago.
If you're still listening, send an email to cinemacrustproducer@gmail.com and give us your mailing address, and we'll send you something nice in the mail.
It won't be expensive, but it'll be nice.
No. And it'll come with feeling.
Yeah. So, long-winded 2 hours. We should probably stop talking.
Can't end the show that way, though. We gotta thank you very much. All that good stuff.
Well, thank you for listening. It was an awesome time. I'm rambling. I was rambling. I'll continue to rabble.
We'll be back.
You can listen to me on Cinema Crespediso.
Yes, every Sunday, every Monday.
Every Monday on all sorts of intertube type deals.
And I guess since this is it's the first week of the month, so a new. Drew's whatever this is.
I still haven't come up with a name.
But we'll probably do a new one of these at the beginning of every month.
And what about you, Chris? We do one for you, bro?
I'll probably do one after we do a Crespo Disco episode.
What are you going to talk about?
I think it'll be more of a hodgepodge world.
If you're not talking about movies, what do you know? What else do you know?
Everything else.
You know everything?
Well, I don't know everything, but if it's not about movies, it's about everything else.
You know everything else.
I do know everything else. Oh, I know how to access everything else. Called Google.
Oh, the Google.
Yeah, there'll be movie news, music, whatever the hell. Probably whatever's like current events, whatever's bugging me.
What's grinding your gears?
Whatever's grinding my gears. That's what we're gonna do. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. It's been a pleasure doing this. Hopefully you'll listen next month. If you do, thank you. If not, go fuck yourself.